I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Ferrell on the bench. Mavi is running it on a midweek or where do you hurt Wednesday. So let's go to PJ in Seattle, give him a crack. He wants to talk about Alabama, and then we'll get into the Fury fight. Go ahead, PJ.
Hey, Scott. How's it going, man? Huge fan. Huge fan. Just got to first say that off the bat.
My man.
But specifically, I wanted to ask you about the game this weekend with Bama and Texas A&M. I was looking at the first half wager, being that, you know, Bama's won the first half pretty much every game this season. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, it's a good call on your part because they kick everyone's ass. They finish people off early, right? They do everyone. They get them by the jugular, step on their throat, and the game's over by halftime. It seems like it's their MO. You're right about that. And listen, I got to tell you now, I know the game's in College Station, and I'm sure that A&M's going to be completely lit and the crowd's going to be lit. Everybody's going to be, you know, very hostile. But, I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Like, A&M is, their season's over. I mean, let's just get down to business here for a second. I mean, honestly, have they not been absolutely getting their ass beat? It's so amazing to me watching what's happened to them, and I'll tell you why it's happened to them. The bottom line is Arkansas kicked their ass, Mississippi State kicked their ass, and here's why. Because their quarterback sucks. I mean, I've told you this on the air. Calzada has done nothing. We call him Calzone on Coast to Coast and on the bench. He's done absolutely nothing since he got that job. Now, granted, he beat Colorado. The game was 10-7. He was terrible in that game, too. He made the difference. He made the play that won the game. I'll give him that. But you have to remember, Colorado stinks. They're terrible. So he could barely beat Colorado in Denver. They played a game at Mile High. And then since then, they've gotten whacked. I know they beat New Mexico big, but Arkansas beat them by 10. Mississippi State beats them by 4. And the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, you look at his numbers, 12 of 20 for 135 yards and a touchdown and a pick. His rating is terrible. He does nothing. And then I'm sitting there watching the game, right? And this guy, Rogers from Mississippi State, throws 60 passes for 408 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, what do you need to know? They suck. So how is that guy going to be able to do anything against Alabama's defense? He's not. I just cannot bet on them and bet on him. He's terrible. He sucks. He doesn't really know what he's doing. They keep losing. He's their only quarterback at this stage. And he's going up against, you know, what many people believe is the best team in the country. Some people would argue Georgia's better with their defense. But I think offensively and defensively, Alabama's still the best team because they have an offense and they definitely have a defense. I don't argue that Georgia's got a great defense, but I don't buy their offense with their switching quarterbacks all the time. And, you know, look, they put up a lot of points, so I'm not going to argue that they can score. Let's see them do it against Alabama, and then I'll, you know, firmly believe. They've kicked everyone else's ass. They kicked Arkansas's ass, but A&M just doesn't do it for me. And you're right. I'm with you. That first half bet, why not? What do you have to lose? I think Alabama will come out and steal their girlfriends. I really do. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, our satellite partners. Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana, do Tijuana. Sports Map and Sports Byline Radio Networks, Armed Forces Radio. Hoo-bah. So, anyway, Mafia wants, he's had enough of this talk. He's just had enough of it. He's like, he texted me earlier. He's like, can we get to the fight already? He's like, you've been talking about all this other nonsense. Can we get to the fight? So
not
today,
true. I love all sports.
It is true. Tyson Fury unloaded on Wilder today at the news conference, taking aim at the challenger's unfounded accusations that Fury doctored his gloves in their 2020 rematch that the Gypsy King won in a seventh round TKO. The lead up to the trilogy has been so heated that Bob Arum today decided to cancel the face-off ahead of the fight at T-Mobile Arena for the heavyweight championship. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view on Saturday night, which means the fight will go off around 1 in the morning. He says he wants to do bad things to me and that he's got all this anger and malice and aggression, said Fury. I don't want to hurt Deontay Wilder. I just want to beat him in a fight. Those who hold hot coals with aggression are the ones who get burned. He knows he's lost twice, and he's going to lose the third time. Well, Mafia, I couldn't disagree with him more. I did not think for one minute that Wilder lost the first fight. I know that Fury got a lot of points. All right, we'll talk more about this when we come back. Mafia is frothing at the mouth.
Listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Mafia. So, you know, we went to both these fights, and, you know, Fury was forced to settle for the draw in the first fight. He won every round, except the rounds where the money rounds, when Wilder knocked him out in the 9th and 12th. He had knockdowns in the 9th and 12th. In the 12th round, he obliterated him. I can't believe the guy got up. I thought he was out cold. He didn't even move. He didn't blink. He was out cold. And then God scraped him off the canvas. He got up, finished the fight, actually throwing hands, and it ended in a draw. In the second fight, Fury beat Wilder's ass. I mean, just killed him and knocked him out in the seventh. Abused him, beat him senseless. Wilder has gone on and on about him using, gloves that were tainted, and he had, you know, stuff in the gloves. Fury said it's all true. I had knuckle dusters on. I don't have to deny it. It's all true. Wilder said, I'll go to my grave believing what I believe. I don't have to manipulate my gloves. I don't have to do those things. You have no power. You're not a knockout artist. I went out on my feet. I had a disloyal trainer. He blames everything. His trainers. He blames the the costume he wore into the ring. I mean, Wilder really was embarrassing with all of his effing excuses. But Fury beat his ass. And I got to ask you, I've seen Fury not train for 1 second for this fight. And I've seen Wilder train his ass off and work his ass off and bust his ass and grind. Do you buy into any of that shtick at all, that he's in better shape and has trained better and worked harder for this fight than Fury, and that he has a chance to beat him? Or do you think it's more of the same and Fury's just going to beat his ass because he's dominated him in both fights?
Well, listen, the power that a guy like Deontay Wilder has, he always has a chance in a fight. You know, that's the old adage of the puncher's chance, because that guy with one shot can put you on your ass. And that's what he has made his career on, his whole career, not just the, you know, those big punches in Fury. You and I were there watching him versus Ortiz in Vegas, and Ortiz was beating him for 7 rounds, and all of a sudden he dropped him with the one big punch. He's always done that. His defense has always been terrible because he knows, I don't need to block you, I just need to hit you. So he's always waited for that right hand, found the spot, and finished people. And I think that has been a crutch for him for a lot of, you know, a lot of his career. So, you know, you can show me all you want about him training hard, him being ripped, all, he's always been ripped. He's always looked like an Adonis when he gets into that ring. And we saw Fury the first fight. You and I were at the Vegas, not Vegas, not even L.A., at the press conference. You're like, this guy looks like he has pillows on him. He's so chubby. Didn't bother him then. He looked worse shape the second fight. Didn't, you know, do anything then. This guy doesn't need to be ripped. This guy doesn't need to be, you know, a physical masterpiece. His whole career, that's not what his, you know, game has been. His game is foot movement. His game is outboxing you. His game's outlasting you. So as long as that part of his training is fine, as long as he has his stamina, then I think it's going to be, you know, I can't say more of the same because there was so two drastically different fights, but I'm still on Fury because I don't care how good Wilder looks. He, until he shows me that he can actually box and that it's not just, I'm going to finish you with my right hand with, you know, one or two of those, and that's all that matters, then he's not a complete fighter. And Fury is a complete fighter, and he's shown that over the years, whether it be against the, you know, the jacked up Klitschko's who he beat or against Wilder. This guy doesn't need to be in perfect shape. He just needs to box, and he's shown that time and time again. And I still don't like where Fury's head is at. That, again, this fight week is one thing, you know, you're talking about after the fight with all these excuses that he had. It's another thing, you know, you had that press conference in June where he's sitting there with the headphones on the whole time, just not saying anything, looking all tough with his arms crossed, and said like two or three things. And again, with the excuses. And then here, again, fight week now, you can talk about all you want about this great camp you had. You're still looking back at that second fight saying this guy cheated. The guy that expected his gloves for your team is still in your team. The Nevada State Athletic Commission checked the gloves, found nothing, and you're still harping on this? You're still focused on that? You're not on the right thing then.
Yeah, it really is embarrassing that he just can't get past the gloves and that he thinks Fury cheated. He just cannot get that out of his head. I mean, it's like Fury's living rent-free in his penthouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
he's, you talk about that with McGregor all the time, that the guy never lost. I didn't lose it. Really? Because we've seen you lose over and over again. That's what Wilder's doing. Like, I didn't lose. He had to cheat. I'm too good to lose. It must have been that he cheated.
I mean, do you think Fury is, you know, you talk about his stamina and his cardio and his training and things, do you think that he has enough stamina literally and cardio to do it? Like, cause I just, he looks to me like he could drop dead of a heart attack.
Right. I mean, he doesn't look like he does, but he's shown us, you know, over and over again, he does. I mean, if you don't have the stamina and the cardio, you know, that plays into getting up from those huge punches of Wilder. When he rose up like the Undertaker after that hit, you know, part of that is that you have that energy, that you've trained hard. It doesn't show it on his body, but the guy, you know, has done it the same way as, you know, Andy Ruiz for a long time. We're looking at him and you see the pudgy dude and you're like, dude, this guy's not an athlete. He can't really do it. He went toe-to-toe with guys for full fights. You know, it doesn't always come through on some of these guys. You know, Roy Nelson in the UFC, the guy was a fat ass. He always had the gut on him. He probably could have fought at light heavyweight if he actually, like, locked into training. Or even, you know, Daniel Cormier, when he was fighting at heavyweight, you know, not dropping down to light heavyweight. He just said, they don't look like they're athletes. They don't look like they're, you know, guys that actually take this seriously, but they still stick around the whole fight. It's not always about what you look like. It's about how you do it.
So this is another fight. I got to tell you, you know, the media, they're not having like a radio TV row. They're not having all the press there for this. Just a few, you know, that cover it every single day of their lives. They're not having the usual circus. And they haven't had that circus in 20 months. They haven't had it for any fight in 20 months. The full media circus where all the radio stations show up, TV networks.
They're probably not since the last time these two guys fought.
Is the last time that we actually were at a fight.
Yeah, I think that's the last one you and Carver went to right before the pandemic.
So, and that was in February, right? So do you think, now you know the fight that they're going to open it back up and they're going to have the full circus there, the full mob, the lynch mob is going to be there. That's the Canelo Plant fight on November 6th in Vegas. So they're actually doing it for that one. They're not doing it for this one. Do you think that there is actually an appeal for this fight on Saturday? Do you think that it's going to do well on ESPN pay-per-view?
I think it will. I mean, this isn't the fight that everybody wanted. They wanted Joshua Fury. They wanted to unify all the belts. But, of course, the lawsuit got in the way of that. And the way this deal was written where he gets a rematch got in the way of that. And now, you know, that loss lost her anyway because Joshua just lost. And most people don't even know who Usyk is. So this, you know, kind of takes the place of that as, okay, this is a legit heavyweight champion in a lot of people's eyes. So I think, you know, Wilder's always a polarizing guy. He's a guy that, you know, gets a lot of attention. He's a guy that a lot of people like because of his, you know, his brashness, his mouth, his, you know, the bomb squad, all that. And then Fury's a guy that can talk game too. So I think, you know, it is one of those that will draw people in. It's not going to do, you know, like Tyson Holyfield 2 numbers, but it'll do respectable numbers, I think, compared to a lot of the other fights that we have seen. Now, boxing's done a terrible job the last 20 months actually promoting when these fights are on, so who knows how many people actually know this is going through. But still, I think it's you know, enough draw with these two guys to do decent.
So anyway, I want to say that the Cardinals have a leadoff runner on in the eighth. So they got a runner on, and it's still a 1-1 game. It's a great game. Someone's going to score a run and win this game, and that'll be it, 2-1. But so anyway, going back to the Canelo Plant fight, that one's going to be November 6th. We'll come back and talk about that one on a bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So Wainwright went 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. And on the other side, and I thought he was really good, on the other side, Scherzer, 4 1/3, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 4 Ks, just about the same kind of thing. I still thought Wainwright looked better than Scherzer. The Dodgers have used Kelly, Gratterall, and Blake Treinen now. And then in terms of St. Louis, they've used Wainwright and Garcia. Trinan's in for the Dodgers right now. They're reviewing something. I don't know what it is. They got a runner at first, one out. I just don't know what the hell they're reviewing, right? Because I can't pay attention to every second while I'm doing the show. So Mafia, it's still 1-1. It's a great game. I have this sneaking suspicion. You never know what's going to happen. I got to see it here. I'm looking at the play now. Did he tag up? What does it matter? He went back to first. I don't understand what this call is. It was a fly ball. He's safe. He's still at first. I don't understand what the call was. He went to second. It was a fly ball out. He went back to first. I just don't understand what the call is. Who cares if he touched the bag? You know what I mean? What is that call, Mafia? I just don't get it.
Like, well, they're checking
his ball out. He went to second. He turned around and went back.
Right, but he stepped over seconds. He went past it, you know, kind of looking to see if he was going to go. So then because he goes past it, he has to tag it again before he goes back to first. So that's what we're looking to see if he actually touched second again on his way back to first.
Well, they said he's safe, so the Dodgers lose the appeal, whatever. So anyway, you haven't told me what you thought of the big event with Canelo and Plant. Oh, here's another hit. Oh, what a play in left. What a play in left. It is, you know, down on his knees. He makes the catch. That is huge right there. I got to tell you, you come up big, Taylor. I mean, that thing was going to the ground. They would have had two on and one out, but he makes the catch, and now it's two outs. I mean, this game, all the best opportunities. I mean, the Dodgers have left tons of runners on base. But, boy, have the Cardinals come close a couple times to getting a run in or, you know, causing trouble for the Dodgers. Somebody's going to come up with a big hit here and win this game, whether it's a home run or whatever it is. Now they're taking Trinan out with two outs and a runner on first. Bottom line is, whoever makes the biggest mistake is going to lose this game. It's a 1-1 game. It's just been, you know, nail-biting close. And to me, the Dodgers have left too many on. That would be the reason they lose the game. And I think the Cardinals, I just have this sneaking suspicion, the way they've hung around all night, Mafia. They have hung around. They haven't gone away. They led 1-0, 1-1 on the Turner home run, Justin Turner. And if you don't get that hit from Justin Turner, they'd already have lost this game. So I just have the sneaking suspicion the way the Cardinals have played over the last two, you know, months, the way they won 17 in a row and then lost and started winning again immediately, the way they've won games over the last 4 weeks, whatever it is. I mean, it is so unbelievable how they've won games. I just feel like they're going to do it again.
Yeah, this game, the back and forth, the tightness, the, you know, needing that a couple good defensive plays, kind of keeping it where it is. You know, I feel so much, you know, maybe just me because of living through it and the pain that I have from it still. I feel like, you know, this is similar to when they were playing the Mets at Shea. It was 2007, you know, to move on. You know, the game back and forth where Beltran sits there and gets a strikeout with the bat on his shoulder. Molina came through with the big home run. I feel like that's a, you know, similar situation here, that one of these guys is going to come through. They've had too many plays that could have gone wrong. Has made big play. One big play from the Cardinals. Maybe it's Wainwright or an Arenado home run gets them through.
All right. So I don't know what just happened to your mic, but it was devastating for everyone. It was just so devastating what just happened. I don't know what happened, but it just either got disconnected, connected, turned off, turned on. It sounded different. It was crazy. It was like you got sucked into a vacuum. Anyway, so give me your opinion on Canelo. Canelo and Plant, November 6th. They're finally going to have the circus mob there. All the media will be there, all the radio stations, all the TV stations, all the TV networks, all the Spanish ones, you name it. Everyone from everywhere is going to that fight. How do you think Canelo Alvarez will handle Sweet Hands Plant?
I mean, this is going to be a tough fight. This is Plant's the best guy in that division outside of Canelo. One of the best guys, I think, in boxing that people don't know enough about, that his name isn't, you know, being propped up nearly as much as it should. And he's awesome. And the problem is that Canelo is just a beast. I think that if Plant's going to win this fight or have a chance, he needs to do more of just boxing. He's had, you know, a bunch of fights where he beat some guys up and he's got some, you know, TKOs and whatnot. I think for this one, he needs to go for points if he wants this win. The last thing you want is to let Canelo in your wheelhouse and try to finish you after he's just forced the last two guys to not even get back up. You know, that it wasn't knockout, but it's their corner throwing in the towel. They're saying, listen, this just isn't worth it. Our guy's getting his ass kicked. It's not worth it. We're stopping this here. So that's how dominant he still has been since leaving Golden Boy. You can still see he has that hunger, trying to get these big fights, getting this big money, doing it himself. So Plant's going to have 4 inches of height, going to have almost 4 inches of reach. You need to use that jab and just poke him to death with that jab, get a couple combinations, keep him on the outside. Otherwise, if you let Canelo get in there and get his hands on you and get that power hitting you in the face a couple times, it's going to be a bad night for you.
Yeah, that's going to be a crazy fight. If there's anyone, because I think Canelo's the best fighter in the world right now. For me, pound for pound, he's the most dangerous guy out there. He really is. I know everyone talks about Bud Crawford and all these other guys. Look, Crawford's finally going to fight somebody in Sean Porter. That's going to be incredible that he's finally fighting someone, because I think he's, you know, he's always talked about how Spence won't fight him. Fair enough, but who has Crawford really ever fought? I mean, people say the same things all the time about Floyd Mayweather, that he didn't fight anybody, and I just am not on that card. I think he's fought everyone that they put in front of him, and he beat them all. And this guy, Crawford, I think is amazing, and we know him. He's done my show. He's been in the studio doing the show in New York, and I like Bud Crawford. But look, for me, for the money, Canelo's the man. He's the best fighter in the world right now. He's the most dangerous. If he fought Floyd Mayweather again, he'd kill him. Floyd Mayweather beat his ass when he was too inexperienced, too young to know what hit him. But ever since then, he has grown so much as a fighter, and I think he's lethal. But as you know, we're friends with Plant. He's done the show several times. I do a lot of fights. And I'm friends with all these people in the boxing world. And I just think Caleb's very dangerous fighter. This is the most difficult fight of Canelo Alvarez's career. Believe me when I tell you, the Mayweather fight, he was not ready for that. He was too young. This fight is the most important fight of his career. This is the biggest challenge of his career, because he's the man. He's pound for pound the man, bar none. And now he's got somebody that's bad enough to go toe-to-toe with him, and who's bad enough to be a head at least bigger than he is. I mean, the guy's the size of his head. That's how much bigger he is than Canelo Alvarez. I mean, he towers over Canelo. But Canelo's not afraid of his size or his height or his reach or his, you know, hands that are so dangerous. He is quick. Canelo knows that Plant can land fast. Even in that stare down when he threw the haymaker at him, he just missed knocking his teeth out. He can throw quick, like whap. You don't even see it coming. And Canelo's the same way. I think Canelo's more powerful and more dangerous with his power. And I think Plant is probably quicker and more dangerous with his speed of his punches. You know, I think both of them are incredible. I think Canelo can knock you the F out with bombs. And if he lands, you're in trouble, which he will. He will land. He will hurt you. Every fight he's in, he hurts who he's fighting. So how much punishment can Plant take of that pain? Because you know Canelo is going to deliver the pain. And will Plant be able to handle it? And will Plant be able to get to Canelo first? Will Plant be able to do damage first? And I think it's inevitable that this is going to be, for me, the fight of the year. I really do believe that. I think it's going to be amazing. And that's November 6th in Vegas. This fight on Saturday night has been there, done that. Here we go again for the final time. Thank God. I don't believe for 1 minute. I really don't. I'm just going to say it. They should ever be fighting again. I thought they had to fight a second time after a draw. So they had to fight. And I think that Fury just tortured Wilder in that second fight and beat his ass. Like, I couldn't even believe I was sitting there watching that beatdown. And, you know, the sixth and seventh round, he just annihilated him. And it was over in the seventh. But I have no reason to believe. Now, contractually, he was guaranteed a rematch. But it should have never happened. It should have never happened. Because the fight was so bad, the second one, it should be the end of it. It should already be over and settled. Instead, they're doing it again. I just don't see the interest. But if they're going to do it, then let's do it. Let's just get it on.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. I'm hanging out with Mafia. Holly Holm out of the UFC Fight Night main event against Norma Dumont. And it looks like Aspen Ladd will be the replacement, according to reports, tonight. And just if you're into the UFC, was that a big fight, Mafia?
No, that wasn't a huge fight. But, I mean, that's a very surprising replacement for me, because anybody that follows it, Aspen Ladd was supposed to fight last week. And she was taken off that fight because she's had weight issues, you know, making weight before. People have, you know, opponents have criticized her for it. She's, you know, one of the better fighters in that division. She's, you know, risen up with some nice wins, but she's had a lot of problems with making weight and has gotten a lot of heat from it from other fighters that, you know, she doesn't really take it serious enough, all this other stuff. They canceled that fight last week because she was basically, you know, like hanging on to the, it's not longer a towel. They used to just hold towels around. Now they have like a little, you know, privacy thing they put up there if they have to strip down to try to make those extra, you know, little ounces to make weight. But she looked like she was about to collapse on her feet. And, you know, there are people like Ariel Helwani like tweeting out the video being like, this fight should not go on. This is not safe. Look at the conditions he's in. So for them to turn around, I think it's what, next week or within the next couple of weeks that she's going to come back and try to fight is very surprising to me.
There you go. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. But Holm is out. And I'm not going to delve into what happened at this point. I'll give you this. I'm going on the Ducks tonight. I got the Ducks in this game against the Kings. They were up 3-1 after one, and it's 3-3 now after two at the Pond. The game's on NHL Network. I could get it going. But the thing is, I'm so into this Cardinal-Dodger game in the bottom of the eighth. Nobody on, nobody out. Dodgers up. It's such a great game. I just can't turn it off to watch a preseason hockey game. It's, you know, against my religion. The Blue Jackets, one out now. He gets the strikeout. Gallegos pitching. The Jackets, 4-2 over the Wings. The Capitals, 4-3 over the Bruins in overtime. The Rangers, 6-2 over the Devils. Wild in overtime. 4-3 over the Blues. And the Jets beat the Flames, 3-2. So the Rangers win by 4 goals over the Devils tonight, their rival. And obviously they hate the Islanders too. Mafia, you heard me on Coast to Coast the other day say that, or maybe I did it on the bench. I don't know. Maybe you didn't hear me, but I said that I think the Rangers are maybe I did it with Carver High, that I think they're going to be a surprise team. And, you know, with all the talent they have, I think it's going to start coming into fruition and they're going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, I think so too, especially because they addressed some of the stuff that they had problems with before. Now they still might have problems in like the center position later on your depth chart. But I think with A, you know, the problem for them big time was we saw with what happened with Tom Wilson and what he did to Panarin was they had no one, no grit, no protection. It was all skilled guys. So they added a couple of those in this offseason, guys like Ryan Reeves and a few others, to be in there, and not guys that are just like enforcers and thugs, but guys that have some skill but are really there to protect and kind of rough up the other team. So they addressed that, and I think they also addressed, you know, some of the, you know, the depth issues where they moved some guys around. These young guys are going to be a year older. You know, Cabo Caco started to produce towards the end of last year. Lafreniere is going to be in his second year. He's starting to, you know, in the preseason here has really started to come along a lot better than he did last year. Some people thought that he, you know, really had a bad rookie season. He's a bust, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't do that early in a kid's career when he's that young. I think all these guys getting another year older, plus, you know, having these veterans like Panarin and Kreider, these other guys, I think they're going to have a good season. They make that, you know, if they get the goaltending back to what it was 2 years ago, because I think, you know, Georgiev and the other guys had a little bit of issues there and were kind of a step down from where they were. I think that if everyone, you know, gets their game up to where it was 2 years ago and you have Panarin not miss 10 games because of some smear campaign in the Russian papers tries to take him out, they're going to be in the playoffs and they could be dangerous.
How about that? What'd they say that the KGB was after him?
There's some kind of, you know, accusations. I forget if it was just assault or if there was some kind of sexual assault, but that, you know, his former team and the former coach made some noise about him. And meanwhile, everyone that played with him, everybody I knew him was like, no, this is ridiculous. This is just, you know, because of critical comments he's made against Russia that they're trying to, you know, get rid of him. But, you know, hopefully he doesn't have to deal with anything like that off the ice this year. Because if he was there last year, if he was there for those 9 games, they make the playoffs.
He was a badass, and I think he's a great player. And I think they're a playoff team this year, in my opinion, without a doubt. Dodgers have a runner on with one out, and Justin Turner's up again. He already hit the home run that tied this game at one a lot earlier in this game. And now we're late in the game. Schilt against Roberts, Cardinals against the Dodgers. It's as good as it gets. This game's way better than last night's game. I mean, certainly the Red Sox fans have every reason to gloat and be happy and party and drink beer and smoke fatties because they kicked the Yankees' ass. But that was a one-sided, dominated game by Boston. It was not a good game. This is a really good game. And then tomorrow, you know, is going to be huge. I forgot to
bring up the fact. It sucks this game. It's only one game, Scott. I mean, with all due respect to the Brewers and the Braves, I would much rather see these two teams play a 5-7 whatever game series than see one of those teams right now. I mean, the Braves just won because they're in a terrible division, the NL East. I would much rather see them in a one-and-out situation. These two teams just battle it out in like a real series.
So tomorrow, the Red Sox and Rays play game one, and it's Rodriguez against McClanahan. Dirty Harry McClanahan. I'm just kidding. That one's in Tampa. That game is at 8 o'clock. But the afternoon game is in Houston, White Sox and Astros. And that's Lance Lynn against McCullers in H-Town. Game one of the ALDS between Chicago and Houston. Those are going to be good games. Who do you like in those game ones?
I like Tampa Bay. I think that they are just, you know, we constantly underrate them and don't really put them up there because of, you know, how much they've lost from last year, and they're still awesome. I mean, you lose you trade your ace away after last in the offseason, and then you lose your guy that replaced him as the ace to Tommy John, like in the middle of the season. They still just keep plowing through. You know, you can't name three quarters of the guy those guys on that team. They still keep winning. I like them in that game. And I think I like Houston over the White Sox. I know the White Sox have, you know, looked good throughout much of the season. But again, as I said with the Braves, is another team that I think benefited having a terrible division. That was awful between Kansas City, Cleveland. They just had an easy run for a lot of the season against those teams. I think they're a good team. I'm not saying that they are, like, you know, just trash. But I think that I believe Houston's just a little bit tougher than them and has the pedigree with some of those guys that have won before.
Do you think Lance Lynn can beat McCullers in game one?
He can. I mean, he's had a good year, and he's been a tough dude. It's very interesting, you know, the two veterans. You've seen, you know, it's a much different matchup than we're seeing here with Scherzer and Wainwright. It's two of the kind of, I don't want to say journeymen, but yeah, these guys have been around. These guys have bounced from team to team that are getting the opportunity here at game one for those two teams.
So there you go. And then Friday, the Red Sox and Rays game two is at 7 o'clock. The Red Sox Rays game two. White Sox Astros game two is at 2 o'clock, 2:07. Braves and Brewers at 4:37. And then the Giants play the winner of this game tonight, Cards Dodgers, in game one at 9:37 Friday night. That Braves Brewers matchup is the fisherman Charlie Morton against Burns for Milwaukee. I saw the Dodgers tear him up on Saturday night at Dodger Stadium. Justin Turner just struck out with the runner at first. Gallegos gets him swinging at a pitch in the dirt. So there is a lot of playoff baseball coming up tomorrow, two games, and four games on Friday, Saturday, two games, Sunday, two games. So a litany of baseball playoff games. We are in full playoff mode now in baseball, and it's going to be fantastic. So tonight there's been some good NBA preseason. I mean, the season's right around the corner doing pushups. Hockey starts Tuesday with the regular season kicking off with that Penguins Lightning game and a doubleheader that night. But tonight, Nuggets Warriors, who seldom come out to play, 79-78 Nuggets, 3.5 left in the third in the city. Kings and Clippers at the half in La 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 Lipstick City, 51 apiece there. And today the Suns beat the Lakers 117-105. The Pistons beat the Spurs by 10. The Cavs beat the Hawks by 3 in Hot Town. The Pelicans 104-86 over the Magic. And the Mavs 111-101 over the Jazz in Dallas. So there you go. Line drive. DeJong makes the play at short. They go to the ninth, tied at ones at Dodger Stadium. How crazy is this game? Get ready for a shocking ending. Somebody's going to win this thing, walk off or something, a home run or, you know, a last at bat by the Dodgers. They just can't. I mean, the Dodgers have had 6 hits to the Cardinals, 4. They've left guys on base left and right, and they still can't score. All they have is the Justin Turner home run. So God only knows what's going to happen in this game. I got to tell you, I wish I knew exactly. I just can't see how many guys that they've left on base. 10, they've left 10 on base. Let's see, hold on. I think the Cardinals have left 10 on base and the Dodgers 7 on base. Wow. So St. Louis has actually left more on base, 10 guys to the Dodgers 7. I actually thought it was the other way around, but the Dodgers have left 7 on base and they had the bases loaded in the one inning and the double play killed them, but they, you know, they've gotten nailed with guys on base earlier. It's only 7 though, more for St. Louis left on base. That's surprising to me. I thought it was the other way around. I really do. But Wainwright had filthy stuff tonight. Scherzer was livid that they took him out of the game. I didn't think he was that effective, but you never know. Tomorrow night, college football, Coastal Carolina takes their 5-0 mark to Arkansas State. They're laying 19 and a hook. So that one's a top 25 game. Of course, Coastal's 15th in the land. Also, Houston at Tulane. The Cougars are 4-1. They're laying 6.5 at 1-4, wave Tulane. Friday night, Temple and Cincinnati in the Queen City. Cincy's laying 29. Charlotte's laying 3.5 at Florida International. And Stanford, Arizona State should be a good one in Tempe. Arizona State's laying 13. Tons of games Saturday. Pain Day Sunday. I mean, the next few days with baseball playoffs and college football, pro football are just absolutely delicious. Plus the heavyweight fight.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So Kenley Jansen's in, and he's in trouble already in the ninth with a runner on first and one out. Now he's facing the dangerous Goldschmidt, who's 1-for-2 in the game, and it is on the line right now. I got to tell you, this is their chance right here, the Cardinals, to win this game and to go to the next round against the Giants because they are getting involved. Edmund is on first. He's had a good game. He scored on a Scherzer wild pitch earlier in the game, and here he is again on first in the ninth with one out. So Jansen throws the strike 0-1 to Goldschmidt, but it's always this guy, if you've noticed in the last that they've turned on this guy Jansen, the fans and the media, and then he's actually pitched great in his last 30 games. He's been incredible again for the Dodgers. He's pitched phenomenally well. But the thing is, they just don't care that he's pitched well lately because they just blame him for pitching poorly for the last, you know, bottom line, year and a half. Gets another strike, throw out. Nope, safe at second. So Edmund steals second, and he's in scoring position now with a chance. A single wins it, basically, for the Cardinals, gives them the lead. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. If you're not watching this Cardinal-Dodger game, go turn it on. It's getting really good right now. Great job, Mafia. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.